Bhate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text 62. Bhavadvaitam Kriyadvaitam. Dravadvaitam Tatatmanaha. Bhartayan Swanabhutyeha. Trinswapnan Dunute Muni. Bhavadvaitam Kriyadvaitam. Dravadvaitam Tatatmanaha. Bhartayan Swanabhutyeha. Trinswapnan Dunute Muni. Bhavadvaitam Kriyadvaitam. Dravyadvaitam Tatatmanaha. Bhartayan Swanabhutyeha. Trinswapnan Dunute Muni. Others? Vaishnavis. Bhavadvaitam, oneness in one's conception of life. Kriyadvaitam, oneness in activities. Dravadvaitam, oneness in different paraphernalia. Tata, as well as. Atmana, of the soul. Bhartayan, considering. Swa, one's own. Anubhutya, according to realization. In this material world. Trin, the three. Swapnan, living conditions. Wakefulness, dreaming, and sleep. Dunute, gives up. Muni, the philosopher or speculator. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. After considering the oneness of existence, activity, and paraphernalia, and after realizing the self to be different from all actions and reactions, the mental speculator, Muni, according to his own realizations, gives up the three states of wakefulness, dreaming, and sleep. Purport. The three words, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, and Dravadvaita, are explained in the following verses. However, one has to give up all these non-duality. One has to give up the non-duality of philosophical life in the material world and come to the actual life of reality in the spiritual world in order to attain perfection. Maybe I'll read another, because it's not a report. Karya karana vastyaikya darshanam patatantuvat avastudvad vikalpasya bhavadvaitam taruchate. Translation, when one understands that result and cause are one and that duality is ultimately unreal, like the idea that threads of a cloth are different from the cloth itself, one reaches the conception of oneness called bhavadvaita. And one more, there's a little purport here. Yad brahmani pare sakshat sarva karmana samarpanam manovaktanubi parta kriyadvaitam taruchate. My dear Yudhisthira, Partha, when all the activities one performs with his mind, words, and body are dedicated directly to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one reaches oneness of activities called Kriyadvaita. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is teaching people how to come to the stage of dedicating everything to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 27, Yat karosi, yat ashnasi, yat jahosi, didasi, yat tapasyasi kuntaya, tat kurushva madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. End quote. If whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we think, and whatever we plan is for the advancement of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, this is oneness. There is no difference between chanting for Krishna Consciousness and working for Krishna Consciousness. On the transcendental platform, they are one. But we must be guided by the spiritual master about this oneness. We should not manufacture our own oneness. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Buddhalesha Madhya Bhakti Vedanta Swamanita Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivashesha Sunyavadi Pastajadishitarani. So at the end of this first purport, Prabhupada says that we have to give up the non-duality of philosophical life in the material world, and we have to come to actual life of reality in the spiritual world in order to attain perfection. And in that second purport, Prabhupada explains basically what that means. It means that whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we think, whatever we plan is for the advancement of Krishna consciousness, is for the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement. That's oneness. That's entering into spiritual life. There's no difference between chanting for Krishna consciousness and working for Krishna consciousness. They're both on the transcendental platform. It says on the transcendental platform, they are one. But we must be guided by the spiritual master about this oneness. We should not manufacture our own oneness. So in other words, to come to the spiritual world, spiritual life, the reality of the spiritual world, we don't have to go any place. We just have to change the way we're understanding life and the way we're living it. We have everything. You know, right here, there's that verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prame Sabu Kabinaya Shravanadi Sudachita Kordudai, that pure love for Krishna is lying dormant within the heart of every living entity. And it's awakened by this process of Shravana Dasuta Chitta, hearing and chanting about Krishna, devotional service. So when we engage in devotional service, according to the directions of the, as Prabhupada says here in this next purport, being guided by the spiritual master, not manufacturing our own understanding, and then we make progress, then we progress, and we become successful. We have to be in the mood of Arjuna. Arjuna had, in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, he was manufacturing. He had his own ideas, you know, and they weren't totally bad ideas. I mean, he had his own ideas. He was feeling that, well, I don't want to fight this in this war because everybody I'm going to be fighting against is friends, relatives, teachers, you know, people I'm intimately related with. And what could be the benefit if I lose? Well, I'm getting killed. And even if I win, you know, even if I win, what at what cost? You know, like in economics, they teach you in the philosophy of economics, you have to, consider the cost and the benefit. So he's looking at that. He's thinking, well, the benefit is what I see, practically nothing, and at the cost of, you know, killing all these people who I'm intimately related with. So he couldn't see any value in it. And then he presented so many arguments to Krishna why it wasn't a good idea. And but then finally he realized that despite all his good arguments and everything like that, he was feeling totally bewildered. And he makes the statement early in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Karpanya dosa fata swabhava, prichchami tvam dharma samuda cheta, yat shreyas siyan nishchitam buhitan me, sishyas teham sarimam tvam prapanam. He tells Krishna, now I'm confused about my duty, and I've lost all composure due to weakness. You know, and Prabhupada, in the word for word translation, it explains that samuda, how's it come? Yat shreyas siyan, how's it come? Karpanya dosa fata swabhava, prichchami tvam dharma. His understanding of Dharma has been covered. Prabhupada translates that as he's lost all composure due to weakness. So, and then he's saying to Krishna, Yat Shreya Siyan Nishchitam Bruhitam Me. Now, please tell me clearly what is best for me. And as he's admitting, he's coming to that point of, I don't know. I just got finished giving you all these arguments why it's not a good idea for me to fight, but to be honest with you, I don't know what to do. I'm bewildered because despite the fact that I'm presenting all these brilliant arguments to you, I'm completely, you know, in anxiety. I don't, you know, lost all composure due to weakness. I'm standing, my bow is, you know, as he said earlier, dropping from my hands. He realized that, you know, he couldn't make a solution. So his conclusion was that Yashriya Siyan Nishitamburi Sishyas Teham Sarimam Tvam Papanam. Now I am your disciple, a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So when we come to that position, then we're ready for spiritual life. You know, we have to come to that that position, you know, like a blank slate. We have to understand we don't know. You know, we're not able to, you know, with our own fertile intelligence, you know, manufacture, come up with some understanding or process to, you know, to get us out of this material world and take us to spiritual life. We have to, as Prabhupada mentions here, we have to be guided, you know, by the spiritual master, and it's the only way. And later on in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tadviti Paripatena, Paripashnena Sevaya, Padiksha Tite Gyanam, Gyananas Tatvidashna. That just try to learn the truth by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, inquire submissively. The self realized soul can impart knowledge, he has seen the truth. So that's the way to, you know, to do it. To come to spiritual life, to first understand that we don't know anything, we can't make solutions to our own problems, we need guidance, and that guidance has to come from a bona fide spiritual master, somebody who's bona fide. So, of course, you know, Prabhupada was one such bona fide spiritual master. And, you know, and while he was here, some of us were, you know, very fortunate. We had the opportunity to directly get guidance from him. But even in his absence, and I do like this because with inverted commas, you know, because there really is no absence. Prabhupada's not absent. Prabhupada's present even now. In his, you know, instructions, we have his books, we have his lectures, we have his, you know, his followers. So we're still connected. You know, we still have can be guided by the spiritual master. Prabhupada has many disciples who are acting in the capacity of spiritual masters, and if they're doing a good job. You know, if somebody's following, repeating what Prabhupada said, you know, repeating the same, giving the same philosophy as what Prabhupada gave, and they're obviously living their lives according to his instructions, they're a bona fide spiritual master. And aside from that, we have all Prabhupada's books, you know, for guidance, where there's so many instructions. And so, you know, we're in a very good situation ourselves, that we have these things. As far as the books go, you know, the books are very, very special, because it's not just that, you know, we're getting guidance from Prabhupada, but ultimately we're getting guidance from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. I mean, it said every morning we're chanting Sakshad Dharitve Nasamasta Sastra Ruktastata Bhavyav Devasabhi, that the spiritual master is the transparent via medium. He's Sakshad Dharitve. He's directly the Supreme Personality of God. He's the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So no matter how you look at it, you know, it's kind of like where we have so much guidance. Actually, in the Bhagavatam, it says about the Bhagavatam, there's a verse, Idam Bhagavate Nama Pradana Brahma Samitam Yat Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishreyas Saya Lokasya Danyam Swasti Ayanam Mahat. That this Bhagavat Purana is all perfect, all blissful, all successful. And is, you know, is written by Vyasadeva, who's the literary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And actually, Vyasadeva is a post, you know, because it's stated someplace, and I think it's in the 12th canto, that in the next Kali Yuga, believe it or not, Ashvatthama is going to be Vyasadeva. So it's a post, like Indra or, you know, something like that, Brahma. But one of our God brothers did some research, and he found in the Vishnu Purana that at least the Vyasadeva in this particular Kali Yuga is Vishnu Tattva. He found it in the Vishnu Purana. And so, in other words, the Bhagavatam, it's directly coming from Krishna. It's directly coming from Krishna. You know, Vyasadeva is Vishnu Tattva. He's, you know, expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And somebody could say, well, what about the purports? Well, you know, pretty much that's coming from Krishna too. You know, there's different pastimes where, you know, Prabhupada, we get insight into, you know, who Prabhupada was like this. If we watch the memory series, there's one pastime where Bhavananda relates how he was with Prabhupada in a room. And Prabhupada said, actually, I didn't want to come here to this material world. And, you know, Bhavananda was, you know, well, it was very silent. Anyway, I can't remember the exact step, but the gist of it is what Prabhupada pointed out. I didn't want to come here to this material world, but Krishna asked me to come. And he said, just go there and write these books. I'll take care of everything. You know? So Prabhupada was deputed, he was directed, you know, by Krishna to come to the material world and write the books. And if that's not enough, right, there's another anecdote where Bhagavat, in the same series, you know, he relates how he was with Tamal Krishna Maharaj in India, and Prabhupada was preaching to some guests, and they left the room. And then Prabhupada called them back in and said, why are you leaving? And he said, you know, you have to listen to how I preach, otherwise how are you going to learn how to train these men? And he said, are you studying the books? And they said, well, yeah. He said, you know the verses? Shloka, you know, book, shloka. Prabhupada asked about one verse, an easy one, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, and they didn't know it. Neither one of them knew it. And Prabhupada said, no, you know, you have to read these books. He said, Prabhupada said, even I read my books. Even I read my books. And they were going, really? He says, yeah, do you know why I read these books? And he says, because I learned something when I read these books. He said, actually, I didn't write these books. Prabhupada said, actually, when I sit down to write these books, Krishna comes, sits next to me, and dictates. And I just take dictation. So, I mean, you could say, well, I mean, Bhagavat says that on the memory series, and I believe, be honest with you, I heard Tamal Krishna Maharaj many years ago relate that same pastime. So that's two people saying that. And the one before that, Bhavananda is one person. But, you know, if you're still kind of like a little bit in doubt about the whole thing, there's another pastime, and I can get help from this one. In New York in 1976, Prabhupada had a reporter come and do an interview with him. And the interview went, and then as they were leaving, they came down to the front desk. This is 340 West 55th 8th Avenue, that big temple, the skyscraper, as Prabhupada referred to it. So they're leaving, and then a reporter asked a question. He said, so how are you going to know who's going to, you know, when you leave, who's going to lead this movement? And he said, Krishna will tell me, you know. And Ramaswar Prabhu was there. Now, in fact, I'm not going to, maybe I don't get this exactly correctly, he can help me. But he started to explain. He felt, well, this reporter is going to get bewildered. You know, according to me, Krishna tells him. So he started to explain, well, yeah, you know, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satati Yuktanam, that those who are constantly devoted and worship with love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come for me. So, you know, Prabhupada's a pure devotee, and he's very fully engaged in devotional service, so Krishna's going to give him the intelligence. And, you know, and then Prabhupada goes, no, Krishna directly tells me. Did I get it more or less right? It was much stronger than that. But Prabhupada... yeah, but Prabhupada clearly made the point. It wasn't by that. That process is valid. That's there too. But Prabhupada, at least on that occasion, made that point himself. And Ramaswara was there. Harisari was there. I believe that might even have been recorded. I'm not sure. That Krishna's talking to him and telling him, you know, who's going to be the next, you know, who to choose as leaders. And he was managing. Krishna's talking to him. That's how Prabhupada managed. So, you know, this is... Really, you know, we're in an amazing position that we have this opportunity. You know, we're getting the topmost knowledge, and we have the opportunity to, you know, practice it and distribute it to others. And actually, there's another verse, first canto, third chapter. Krishna swa dhamma pagate dhamma ginadi visaha kalo nastam drasamesha puranarka denodita. That this Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun. It's arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna with Dharma, religion, etc. And Kalo Nasta Drasamesha. That's, well, I was going to say that's the important line. They're all important, but that line, Kalo Nasta Drasamesha, that it's the light for people in this age of Kali. This age of Kali is just total darkness. You know, it's just like, actually, if you analyze, things have been going downhill now for 4 million years. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Because, you know, Prabhupada said that we're in the Kali Yuga now, and now as Kali Yuga progresses, things are going to get worse, you know, for 427,000 years. So, this is like a philosophical speculation on my part, but assuming that that's the way it works, that means, as you know, you start off at the beginning of Satya Yuga, and from that point onwards, which was about 4 million years ago, things go downhill. Just like things are going now downhill as Kali Yuga is progressing, things have been going downhill since the beginning of Satya Yuga. It's just like in the Bhagavad Gita, there's that verse, when one is enlightened by the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge will reveal everything, just like the sun lights up in the day, everything in the daytime. Well, the opposite is true too, you know. When one is bewildered by the darkness by which knowledge is destroyed, then the darkness covers everything, just like when the sun sets and it gets darker and darker and darker. That's what's happening, you know. That's what's happening. It's like the sun is set and it just gets darker and darker and darker and darker. And that's the age of Kali. Yeah. So, and it's also said in the Bhagavatam, I think it's first canto, first chapter, text 22. I can't remember the whole verse. That one about, we have chosen you as the captain of our ship. You know, but in that, there's one line in there. It goes, Kalim Sattva Param Haram Pumsam. That this Kali Yuga destroys all the good qualities of the human being. You see? So that's what's going on in the Kali Yuga. You know, all the good qualities of the human being are being destroyed gradually. Not like, you know, black and white type of thing, but just, you know, it's getting more and more and more and more nescient all the time. And the only hope is this, the Bhagavatam. Krishna Swadhamma Pagate. You know, Kalo Nastam Drasamesha. This people shall get light from this Purana. So that's, you know, the big hope, that by distributing these books, people can get light. You know, these books are coming directly from Krishna. You know, they're coming directly from Krishna, from, you know, Vyasadeva, who's, as we just mentioned, as Vishnu Tattva, you know, from a pure devotee who is personally told by Krishna to come here and write the books, who's told us that when he writes the books, Krishna is sitting there next to him and dictating what to write in the books. You know, I mean, we just have to go out and distribute them. And basically, we have to be very careful to just remind ourselves, you know, what we have and really protect it. Because this is like, you know, it's an amazing opportunity for us. We can go back to Godhead, you know, one lifetime. And it's an amazing thing we can offer to other people. But we have to be, you know, vigilant not to let Maya grab us again. Yesterday I was going out in Sankirtan with Satchidananda, and we were listening to Amala Bhakta's narrations of the teachings of Queen Kunti. And I heard this one paragraph that really caught me. Well, it wasn't a paragraph. I heard this one, like, statement of Prabhupada's that really, you know, grabbed me. This is, Prabhupada says, if one takes to Krishna consciousness in the beginning, there will be many disturbances caused by Maya, the material energy of illusion. Maya will test us to see how firmly we are fixed in Krishna consciousness, but she is also an agent of Krishna. She does not allow anyone the freedom to disturb Krishna. Therefore, she tests very rigidly to see whether we have taken to Krishna consciousness to disturb Krishna or are actually serious. That is Maya's business. So in the beginning, there will be tests by Maya, and we shall feel so many disturbances while making progress in Krishna consciousness. But if we follow the rules and regulations and chant regularly as prescribed, then we shall remain steady. So that's the good news, okay? And not bad news, but the thing we have to be careful of, he goes on to say, but if we neglect these principles, Maya will capture us immediately. Maya is always ready. We are in an ocean, and at any moment we may be disturbed. Therefore, one who is not disturbed is called Paramahamsa. But on this point here, it says, if we neglect these principles, Maya will capture us immediately. Maya is always ready. So, you know, it doesn't matter. You could be a devotee, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. It doesn't, at any point, if any, because free will is always there. If we neglect the principles, then and Maya will just pluck us out. Any of us, doesn't matter, you know. And so we have to be careful. We always have to be careful. We have to, like Shankarshan Prabhu was saying in his class, I don't know if he said it in the class or after the class, but he was saying from 4 to 9, you save yourself. And then from 9 to 4, we save everybody else. I like that, you know. So the first part of the day, and we have to save ourselves every day, you know, which means just, you know, the basic, the obvious stuff, getting up, coming to Mangalarati, Tulsi Puja, you know, everything, just exactly what we're doing. It's essential. We got to do that every day. And then we're protected. As Prabhupada says, if we follow the rules and regulations and chant regularly as prescribed, then we shall remain steady. But if we neglect those principles, we're asking for trouble. It's just like a boxer in the ring, you know. It doesn't matter, you know, you might think, well, I've been in the ring with this guy 10, 12 rounds or whatever, you know, I could let down my guard a little bit. No, you let down your guard, boom. You're going to get knocked out. It's just like that. You know, not following these principles is like letting down your guard. It's just like giving Maya an open, okay, Sakatumi, you know, she's going to just knock us out. She's going to take us out. So we have to be very vigilant. And it's very important for devotees to also encourage each other. You know, if you see somebody not coming or, you know, it's getting a little bit slack, say something. You know, that's actually association of the devotees. That we, you know, because we know what the standard is. We have to help each other. We have to be on the standard and try to help each other keep to that standard in terms of our practice and in terms of, you know, going out and trying to share it with other people. Anyway, I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Buck the Jack. Waiting for the microphone, right? Okay. I can't see what time is it that I stop on time. Thanks, pal. Yeah. No. About 8:05, 8:10? Okay, that's plenty. Yeah, you gonna... Oh, he's got it now.
Thank you for an excellent class. Before I came here, I was taking this Chinese class. And it was only about 2.5 months long, but we had all these resources, like so much that it was impossible to use all the resources. Like we had 3 books, and like the professor made like this big online thing, and we had like this lab, and there was no way to use all the resources there. I was like bewildered, and you know, like it should have been like pretty simple. I mean, it's Chinese, so it's like a bit difficult for Westerners, but it's like there was so much bewildering there. So I was listening to this lecture from like the very early days of Krishna consciousness, when like there was no Bhagavad Gita, like there was just like one Xerox copy of like one chapter, and so like the early disciples, they only had like this one verse that they would give at every lecture, so they would hear like, you know, we're not the body, and just really focus on that. And they really got it, you know, and that's why they're so, like, intense and powerful. And I feel like now we have so many resources at our disposal. We have everything. We can, like, download Prabhupada, basically, and, like, put him in our brains and all of his disciples. I was wondering, like, you know, we can get very bewildered by Maya, but we can also get bewildered by Krishna consciousness. Like, there's so many things, like you mentioned, like, you know, Krishna's like the sun, but if you look directly at the sun, you can get bewildered. So I was wondering, like, how as neophyte devotees can we not get bewildered by all these resources at our disposal and really, like, dive into, like, certain things?
Just follow the basic program. Just follow the basic program, you know. You'll be able to, Krishna will reveal to you, give you the intelligence to see how you'll be able to use all these different resources in due course of time. But to start off with, just like, you know, when you start anything, you got to start from the beginning. So the beginning is showing up for Mangal Arati, chanting your 16 rounds, following the four regulative principles, serving the devotees, you know, being fully engaged in devotional service all day long. As, you know, time goes on, Krishna will inspire you to see how you can use this resource, that resource, like that. No need to be bewildered. Just one, you know, just like when you're learning how to play the piano or anything, you know, you just start with the scales. You start with the easy stuff. And then when you got the easy stuff, then you go into something a little harder, a bit more challenging, like that. You don't have to, you know, you can't jump up and do the difficult stuff to start off with anyway. So just start at the beginning and work your way through, and you'll understand how to do things as time goes on. Yeah, Archdeep.
And Prabhupada actually indicated that while he was here, one devotee approached Prabhupada and said, you know, Prabhupada, my favorite author is Srila Bhakti. And Prabhupada cut him off immediately. No, I am your favorite author. You know, because we think we have liberty to, you know, like he said, download this and read that and go here and do that. Prabhupada wanted us to concentrate on his books. Like you were saying, these books are special. All of that prior knowledge has been distilled down into Prabhupada's books. You don't need to jump over Prabhupada's books and go to this acharya and that acharya, even in our own line. Even in our own line, Prabhupada discouraged that. You don't jump over me and go to Bhaktisiddhanta or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even though they're in the same line. Read my books. Learn my books first. So it's very, very important, especially for all of us, but especially the new devotees. You concentrate on these books, Ishapanishad, Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita. Concentrate on those books. Learn them. Don't come to me and start quoting, you know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and you don't know Nectar of Instruction. It's completely useless. It's completely useless. If you don't know what is in the Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, Ishapanishad, Bhagavad Gita, don't start quoting, you know, this acharya and that acharya. It's completely useless. Prabhupada has given us all of that knowledge from those acharyas distilled into these books. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, it's all there. We don't need to go and jump over and look for this book. And especially when devotees go to India, they become completely bewildered. This was going on when Prabhupada's here. They go to Lohi Bazaar and they see, oh, I can get this book and I can get that book and this book. So it's actually Lord Chaitanya himself said, it is not necessary to read so many books. It's not necessary. Just follow your spiritual master, take the knowledge as is given through him, and you'll be safe. Now, some of our devotees later on became big, big scholars and knew all of this and that. That, for their line of work, maybe editing, whatever, it was necessary. But for the vast majority of us, if you don't know Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Instruction, you don't have any business reading any of those other books. It's not going to help you.
Right. Just a comment on that comment. Like when, you know, just like when the Sankirtan devotees go out and they talk to the general public, you learn over a period, you know, doing it for a while, how to dumb it down. In other words, we don't go out there and, you know, speak Prabhupada's purports to people because there's absolutely no way they could, you know, understand them. You have to. We dumb it down, and you learn how to do that. So in the same way, you know, Prabhupada was empowered by Krishna to dumb it down for us. You know, Prabhupada came here. He studied. You know, he spent some time just kind of like studying the American people. You know, Prabhupada knew what he was doing. He gave it. He gave us. He presented Krishna consciousness in the way that we need, and you know, it's perfect. Yeah, that was Prabhupada, just like it says here, Maya's empowered, you know, she's a representative of Krishna. Well, Prabhupada was empowered to present Krishna consciousness in the way that's going to be best for our understanding. So, you know, we have to have that kind of conviction and faith and read Prabhupada's books. And actually, you know, when you read them, there's so many things that you might think, oh, I've read Prabhupada's books, but just recently I listened to Amala Bhakta's narrating Krishna book. And, you know, went through the whole thing. There's so much in there, just in the Krishna book. This whole philosophy, there's so much, you know, knowledge in there. Just before we go, maybe we can get Ramaswara to give us the unabridged version of that story. because that's a really nectar pastime, and we'll end it there. Huh? I gave the abridged. Maybe you can give the unabridged.
You said it very well.
Yeah. Okay. Give me the microphone.
It was just as you said it. Prabhupada was confronted by this reporter. She asked if you speak to God and God speaks to you directly. And I sensed that she was asking in a very
challenging or
a skeptical way.
Mm-hmm.
And thought, oh, if he says, yes, I speak to God and God speaks to me, then she would write something. With skepticism and
uh-huh.
and sarcasm. So I interrupted. That was the first mistake. And I did quote from the Bhagavad Gita about how Krishna gives the intelligence from within to his pure devotees. And I said, so you can understand Krishna speaking to his pure devotees in that way. And Prabhupada just looked, he was sitting there shaking his head at me. No. And he said, no. He said, that is not it. And then he went on to explain, yes, Krishna directly speaks to me. I hear Krishna speaking to me. And I felt so blissfully chastised. And the way Prabhupada said it, it was with such authority, and it was with such genuine, potent realization that he was sharing this moment, that even the reporter was stunned. I'm in the presence of a person that speaks to God. It changed her completely when Prabhupada said it. Hare Krishna.
John. Okay, that's a good note then. Going through Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
What a great class. I was thinking of some of the sacrifices.